this week and said, well, what would be something that I could relate to the people that maybe I've even experienced it? Have any of you ever been put on hold in a telephone conversation? If you have, raise your hand. You know, I spend a good portion of my time on hold, and I hope it's nothing personal, but it seems to be happening. You know what they do? They go to the extreme to play beautiful music for me while I'm listening online as well. And I'm sure you've been there as well. I call it sometimes a hurry up and wait. I hurry up to a location, and then I have to sit there and wait and wait. So being put on hold is quite familiar to everyone here this morning. And it can be also a very frustrating experience for us as well. Talked to my wife. She was on hold over 20 minutes the other week. That's part of the reason why I guess I chose this as a topic to talk about. That's a pretty long time to be on hold. It is particularly frustrating when the matter that you're calling about is urgent to you, isn't it? When you want something to be done now, and you need something now, and you're put on hold, that gets a little disconcerting. And that gets to be something that we could put into our hearts, and it helps us to get a little bit more agitated. And it doesn't help when that situation is serious. In fact, it's even more irritating. Life is no fun when you're put on hold. But I want you to look at our gospel text on Mark right now. Who was put on hold? Jairus. He was put on hold because he came to get Jesus, taken to his daughter, and was basically put on hold by the actions of fear. Now, his daughter was dying. He had no phone, but he heard that there was someone nearby that might be able to save his daughter's life. We go over the story again. He puts on his coat and he searches for the community of this very esteemed physician. When he finds the physician, he hurries him up. He goes up to him, and even though this man, though he was a man of some prominence in the community, he had power in this community. He put all his pride aside, and he got on his knees before the physician and begged him to come and see his daughter. Well, we've already identified the man's name was Jairus. But the physician name that he went to see, of course, was Jesus. Would Jesus come and lay hands on his little girl? Of course he would. Mark tells us simply, Jesus went with him. But wait, here's where the on-hold part of our story comes on. It says there was a break in the story. While Jesus was making his way through the crowd after Jairus, a woman with an issue of blood reaches out and touches him, his garment. And Jesus stops, engages her in conversation, and ministers to her in a very beautiful way. Can you imagine, though, how Jairus felt watching all of this? His daughter was dying, and here Jesus was dealing with this woman, and Jairus had no idea what this was all about. Could you imagine how Jairus was feeling, being put on hold and having to wait? The stress must have been unbelievable for this very frantic father. Put on hold while the master ministers to another person. The same thing happened to Mary and Martha, if you remember, in the Bible as well. They sent for Jesus at the sickness of their brother Lazarus. But it was days before Jesus responded. If you would have been here, they said, with a hint of accusation, I think, in their voices, our brother would not have died. Why does Jesus, our master, seem to take time sometimes with what our requests are? Why isn't it quicker to respond? Why isn't he quicker to respond to our requests? Doesn't he know that there's a matter of urgent that what I, as Ron Windbecker, have to say and need is of importance, and why don't you answer it now? Well, this is a question. This question goes right to the heart of our prayers. Why do our prayers seem to go no higher than the ceiling in the room that we're praying? There was a third grader who had been working long and hard to help a certain young student improve his behavior as well as his attitude. And after a reading session that was continuously disrupted by the student, the teacher, in her frustration, said to the boy, John, I'm going to turn you over to God. The little boy was walking by in the hallway and says, Teacher, Mrs. Jones, God's going to give him right back. But as time goes on, we understand a little bit more about God and how God sees things. Because through God's eyes, things are a lot different than through our eyes. And we have to have that understanding to let God's eyes rule and have faith that when it's not answered right away, that's okay too. Because sometimes, I'll be honest with you, even in my life, he's taking his time. And he's moving very slowly. And it's difficult for me to deal with those kind of things. But if I have patience, and I have trust, and I have faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it all works out in the long run. Because God is good, and God is great, and God will answer our prayers as we talk to him. And he'll never let one go unanswered. But be prepared. We don't always get what we ask for, but the prayer is answered. You know, in these kind of situations that I'm discussing, we have responsibility, don't we? But we do not have control. We have responsibility, but we do not have control, and that's when we learn to depend on prayer. But anyone who has had a long active prayer life knows that there are times when we confront a silence on the other end. In other words, God just doesn't seem to always be there. Picture this very frantic father in our text, waiting for Jesus to minister to the woman with the issue of blood. And then he gets news. His worst fears happen. Some friends came from a house and said, "Your daughter is dead." So everything that he had been trying to get accomplished, everything he wanted to have happen for his daughter, it changed at that moment. "Why bother the master any longer?" the people said. Poor Jairus felt a sudden ache within himself, I'm sure. His friends tried to give him support, but that only goes so far. And something more is needed. And fortunately, Jesus Christ was there. He had not forsaken Jairus, as he does not forsake us. Jesus is always there for you and for me. He probably touched him on the arm or on the shoulder. That's my imagination of what Jesus might have done to Jairus. He said, "Don't be afraid." What did he say? "Just believe. Don't be afraid. Just believe. You're diagnosed with cancer. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Your school teacher says something to you that irritates you. Don't get upset. Just believe in Christ. Don't be afraid. Just believe. When things come up and the biggest walls come in front of you, don't get upset. Don't be afraid. Believe in Jesus and allow Jesus to pull you up and over or through the obstacles that are in hand. If we allow Jesus to do those things, what have we done for the glory of God? You talk about anybody who worked with Vacation Bible School. It looks great on screen. But when you were there were trials. There were kids who got hurt. There were hurts. There were pains. There were things that these teachers and these people who worked with VBS had to deal with. There was unexpected issues at the daycare that they had to adjust to very quickly. But you know what? They were not afraid. They believed in Jesus. And everything went okay. Just like it does in your own life. If you think about some of the fears you've had in the past and how you just hung on to that thread of Jesus and how much better you feel now because you said, yes, Jesus was with us. You know, sometimes when we're put on hold like this, like Jairus was, we hold on even tighter to the promises that I'm talking about. Those promises are still there for each and every one of us, and we hold very tight onto them because we know that we're never going to be forsaken, that God's always going to be there. We hang on to those promises, and we go from there. Now, back to the story. If you remember, those who were gathered there ridiculed Jesus. They made fun of him, and he asked them to all leave the house, and when he went there to the little room where the little girl lay, he took her by the hand. And I can just visualize it in my own mind, and I hope you're visualizing it in your own mind as well. He said, "Little girl, I say to you, arise, get up." And she did. When we hold on to the promises of eternal life, to the promises of Jesus in the Bible. When we hold on to these promises, because we know that He is the Lord of life and the Lord of death and the Lord of everything in our lives, then good things happen. Maybe not the way that we want it to be, but they are happening for what God thinks is best for us. Sometimes we feel that our lives have been put on hold, and it is time for us to trust in God that He is with us and that our prayers are answered. You and I know Christ as the Lord of life and death. We know Him as the risen Savior. We hear it proclaimed in our hearts every day, and we hear it proclaimed in the worship services that we attend, and we need to take it from here into here and let Jesus Christ reign in our hearts, because we hold on to the promises of God whenever we are put on hold. May God be with you, and may you remember some of these words the next time you are put on hold in your life. May God grant you peace. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.